Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There has long been a well-known saying with which I'm sure most, if not all, of you are familiar. United we stand, divided we fall. That probably helps explain why so many people in our country believe that we are really in trouble today. We are divided in so many ways. We don't seem to have a common center of allegiance or beliefs that bind us together anymore. In our gospel reading for this day, Jesus spoke about unity, and a unity far beyond patriotism. It was the last night before Jesus was to go to the cross. And he began to do for us what he is still doing today. A few hours before his arrest, Jesus interceded in prayer for those who believed in him and those who would believe in him. John 17 is a prayer of three sections. In verses 1 through 5, Jesus prays for himself. He has glorified God by accomplishing the work God gave him to do. But now, as he looks ahead, he knows he's going to die. And he asks this, "Father, glorify me with your own presence, with the glory I had with you before the world was created." And then in verses 6 through 19, Jesus prays for the immediate group of 11 disciples gathered around him. He knows they are going to be filled with despair and be afraid when Jesus is arrested, accused, beaten, and crucified on a cross. True, there will be unspeakable joy when he is risen from the dead, but then, just when they seem to have everything going for them, about 40 days later, they will stand there amazed as he disappears from sight and ascends into heaven. But Jesus cares deeply about them. And he says in this prayer, "Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." Now those are the verses leading up to our gospel for today. And then in verses 20 to 26 of our gospel, he prays for all believers yet to come. He prays for their unity also. He knew that Christians needed unity if they were going to make an impact on the world, that the world would believe that God the Father had sent God the Son, Jesus, to take away the sins of the world. So after praying for his disciples, he says, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. A number of years ago in Canada, a little 2-year-old girl wandered away from her neighborhood on a cold, wintry day. Her parents, of course, alerted all the neighbors around them. And the neighbors went off attempting to find the little girl. For hours, people went off in different directions calling her name. They didn't find her. And a little before sunset, one of the men said, "Instead of all working separately, let us join hands and form a long line and walk through the fields together." And that's what they did. They joined hands and they walked together and they found her little body. Unfortunately, frozen and curled up. And one of the men said with great anguish, "Oh, if we had only joined hands sooner." These are words we might keep in mind in the church as we do ministry today. We live in a broken world, made so because of our rebellion against God and His laws. But God, in His love and mercy, has provided relief. And more than that, a final solution to all of our problems. And through proclamation of the precious gospel, we can touch lives with a power that can transform lives and promises an eternal life in the future. But people, we need to be unified. We need to be on the same page as to what the priority of the church is. If you're not sure about that, it's at the end of the message today. It is interesting to note here that Jesus asked God to give unity to His church. And that would seem to mean that unity is something given, not something achieved by us. Jesus looked to the Father to grant His church the gift and blessing of unity. It wasn't merely a unity of organization. It was something generated by the Spirit of God. Christians are drawn together because they are drawn to a common center in Jesus Christ. But from the world's standpoint, it can be quite confusing, can't it? One Methodist theologian, not so long ago, took the time to research and try and count how many different Christian denominations there are in the world. And he said that there are over 1,200 Christian denominations in the world. And of course, the world looking on this could find this quite confusing. But we need to point to and help them focus on something else. Here's the thing. There is only one holy Christian and apostolic church. And Jesus Christ is the head of that church. That's what we need to be focusing on. It's interesting to note that in this wonderful prayer, John 17, that Jesus prayed for the unity of the original disciple group. Maybe we can learn something from them. I don't think that this unity came easily just because Jesus was there. There was often tension among the disciples. Like the time when James and John asked for the seats to the right and left of Jesus in heaven. How about that? And earlier on the same evening, the disciples were fuming, and there was an argument among them about who was the greatest. And there were other problems along the way. But here's the thing. Despite their individual differences and some tensions, they were able to use the Word of God and see an unbelieving world turned upside down for Jesus Christ. There were churches and fellowships of Christians forming all over the place. And that's because the disciples were in relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they were helped also, and here is an additional lesson for us. They were helped because they took the words of Jesus seriously when he said this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And we see in his prayer today, he referred to that again. He prayed that we would have the love for each other and others that God the Father had for Jesus. Amidst differences, love, Christian love, is the glue that holds people together. And thus, they were able to survive the crucifixion and rejoice at the resurrection. But down the road, they were going to be caught by surprise at Jesus' departure. We note in Acts 1:6, after they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? See, they were still looking for an earthly kingdom. But Jesus was going to return to the Father. And he promised. He wasn't leaving them alone. He promised that the Holy Spirit would be sent upon them to lead them and teach them and empower them to be witnesses over all the earth. In Acts 1:9, tells us when he had said these things. As they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven. And let us not be caught standing around either. Jesus' mission was the disciples' mission. and is our mission also, to make it known that God the Father has sent God the Son to save those who believe. May His church and may you and I be found faithful when our ascended Lord returns on that great day of the Lord. Amen.